Take your Bibles this morning and turn to the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 10. I'm going to read a few passages of Scripture. These are the passages that tell us about Israel being in Egyptian bondage and how that Moses was sent, directed the Lord to deliver them. And he would stand before Pharaoh and say, "Let my people go." He was a spokesman for God. Pharaoh continuously hardened his heart, and there were a series of plagues that came upon Egypt. Most of us are familiar with the story. There's one particular plague. It's called the Plague of Darkness. The Plague of Darkness. One of the things you need to realize is that when those plagues came upon Egypt, they did not come upon the people of God. Israel was preserved and protected from the plagues. There's a sharp contrast in Scripture between the children of light and the children of darkness.
Amen.
We need to realize that when we're in light, or when we walk in the light of the Lord, we have special insight. We have a unique understanding. Christianity gives us the true perspective of life. A lot of the world thinks that that Christianity is a crutch or a hindrance, but it's not.
Amen.
It brings joy to our lives. It brings contentment and happiness. It allows us to understand the true insight and the true perspective of life. Notice as I begin reading here in verse 20 of the 10th chapter of Exodus. "But the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart so that he would not let the children of Israel go. And the Lord said unto Moses, Stretch out thine hand toward heaven, that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, even darkness which may be felt. And Moses stretched forth his hand toward heaven, and there was a thick darkness in all the land of Egypt 3 days. They saw no one. They saw not one another. Neither rose any from his place for 3 days. But all the children of Israel had light in their dwelling." I'm going to use this as a passage of Scripture as a text, taken from John chapter 8. Turn there with me. You can keep your hand there in the book of Exodus if you like, but turn to the 8th chapter of John. John chapter 8, verse 12, a very familiar passage of Scripture. Most of us know this passage. Jesus was speaking and he said, "I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness." Now, the Greek on this passage is a lot more emphatic than the English. In other words, Jesus was saying that when you are a follower of Christ, there is no possible way that you will live in darkness. "But shall have the light of life." You know, there's no figure more common nor more beautiful than Christ be likened unto light. I remember early in my ministry preaching this passage of Scripture and trying to compare Jesus to the sun. And there are many similarities that, you know, there are three rays to light, and you can correspond that with God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, and how profound of impact the sun has, the S-U-N, has upon this earth, and how profound impact that the S-O-N has had upon the earth. But Jesus, when he was telling us that he was the light of the world, and that when we follow him, we have the light of life, he was talking about our understanding, a knowledge, a revelation, a perception that the world in general does not have. If you're not a follower of Jesus Christ, you're walking in darkness. And as we examine these passages of Scripture, we see that there's a great darkness, a plague of darkness that's upon the earth. And unless people come to know the Lord and follow the Lord, they continue to stumble in darkness. I was trying to teach the young people during the retreat how imperative it is to not make mistakes in life that will affect your entire life. That many times these early misjudgments or these early errors of life, how that we spend the rest of our life trying to correct it. And I used as a passage during the retreat found in Psalm 7 and 15, where it says, "He made a pit and digged it and is fallen into the ditch which he made." Christian folks have light to guide them. One of the things that we see a lot of today in Christianity is a dead Christianity. I call it corpse Christianity. The light of the Lord should illuminate our path. The scriptures, we know the scriptures are infallible. We believe that every word of the Word of God is true without any mixture of error for its matter. And we correspond our lives with the light of God's Word. God's Word is a light. It's a light to our path. It's a lamp that illuminates how we should live our lives, how we should act, how we should be. Jesus said in the 6th chapter of Matthew, he said that there's a plague of darkness that falls upon people who in their minds think they're in the light of the Lord. Yet if that light, he says, you'll find this in verse 23. Turn there with me. Matthew chapter 6, verse 23. He says, "If that light that is in you be darkness, how great is that darkness?" There's no greater plague of darkness than for people who should know the way and should be living in the way, not doing the ways of God. The way we talk, the way we live, the way we act, if it doesn't correspond with the light of God, God is light. And in Him is no darkness at all. Now Paul, of course, he said that many of the things that he did to the church in persecuting the church, he did through ignorance of unbelief. But when that light was shining around him, when he was on the Damascus Road and the Lord spoke to him and he got saved, he got saved on the Damascus Road. Amen. He was born again of the Spirit right there on that dirt road. When he was saved by the grace of God and come to know the Lord, when that light was shined about him, when it was not only shining about him, but it was shining in his heart. Amen? Amen. It was illuminating. He no longer walked in the same way he walked. He changed his ways. He no longer persecuted the church. He became a servant of the church. He no longer was trying to destroy the preachers. He became a preacher. The alteration and the change in his life because he had light. He no longer did those things that he once did. Many hindrances come to the cause of Christ when our light is darkness. It is the greatest kind of darkness. When God's people who should be acting and living like Christ, amen, act and live like the devil, it hinders the cause of Christ. Amen. It hurts the gospel. Amen. And Satan loves to destroy the cause of Christ. Amen. Satan is striving to destroy your influence. And I see people digging a ditch. I was trying to tell the young people that, I see people, they're in their lives, in what they're doing, their attitudes, the way they live their lives, the things they say, the sharp remarks that they make toward the cause of Christ. Do you realize that Jesus said that if you offend one of his little children, it is better for you that a millstone be wrapped around your neck and you be cast into the sea?
Amen.
Isn't that what he said? If you offend one of his little ones, there's no greater plague of darkness than a Christianity that is in darkness. Now, a lot of people who do not have this revelation, we can expect that out of. People who really don't have Christ in their lives, we expect them to live in darkness. Actually, the proverb is Proverbs 4:19 that says, the way of the wicked is darkness. People, the way of the righteous should never be darkness. Amen. We should be walking and living in the light of the Lord. There never should be this plague of darkness on His church, Amen. On the church of Jesus Christ. You know, mules, they say that when they used mules to mine with long ago, that they occasionally had to bring them up and put them in a field and let them be exposed to light. And if you should ask them back then why they did that, why they brought them mules out of the mines and had them under the sunlight for a certain length of time, they will tell you that if they kept them in the darkness too long, they would go blind. And I'm afraid that's what's happened to the church. To many churches, they've been living in the darkness, and many of God's people who should be in the light of the Lord are living in darkness. Amen. And they dig an itch, and they fall into it, and then they wonder how they got there. Come on now. Amen. They say, how did I get here? And they're the ones that actually dug the ditch to begin with. Why isn't this any better? Why isn't this happening? Why are my children saved? What's going on in my life? Why aren't things better than what they are? Well, you've not been following the Lord. If you follow the Lord, you will never, what did Jesus say in the chapter of John? You will never find yourself in darkness. Now, let's notice here another great plague of darkness. Not only the plague that seems to be prevailing in most Christian circles. Do you guys realize that one of the reasons the Southern Baptists, and I'm not picking on them, if you're Southern Baptist, that's fine. I believe in freedom of conscience. Our forefathers fought for such. Amen. I would fight for your right to worship God any way you want to, but one of the things that they've concluded recently is that a lot of their easy beliefism programs and methodologies have actually not caused a change in the lives of the people that they've led to the Lord. You know why? Because the light has to shine in your soul.
Amen.
Yeah. It's more than an intellectual or ethical thing. It's more than a theological thing. There must be a spiritual light that shines in your soul. And they concluded that their new methodology that they started several years ago to bring people to Jesus has not altered people's lives. And they're trying to get back a little bit. And I hope they go all the way back to the right way. Amen? And just simply teach and preach that people must be born again of the Spirit of God. There must be a revelation of Jesus Christ in the soul. They must become a new creation in Christ Jesus. All things must pass away, and behold, all things must become new. Amen. There must be a born again, blood bought redemption that's preached, or people will not genuinely come to know the Lord.
Amen.
Light. This light here is an emblem of knowledge and understanding and happiness that Christians enjoy. We're within a sphere of understanding, and the church of Jesus Christ needs to be walking close to the Lord. We need to be following the Lord. Amen. God's people, in order for us to not be plagued with the darkness of Egypt, in order for us to be immune from the problems that the world has, we must follow Jesus.
Amen.
Follow Jesus. I'll just follow Him. And when we follow Him, we will never find ourselves in darkness. A lot of people don't believe this. Oh, but if they could just grasp it. How wonderful it would be. But just the feeblest attempt. Just the feeblest attempt. I'm talking baby steps toward Christ. Toward following Him, light is showered upon you. Just those small efforts that we make, just an attempt, just trying to serve the Lord, trying to work for Him, trying to live like Him, trying to imitate Him, light comes into our path. I can't explain it to you. You need to experience it, amen? But stepping out on faith and following Jesus will profoundly change your life. Your attitude will change. Your perspective of life will change. Your way of life will change. You'll see things like you've never seen before. You'll be walking in the heavenly light. The heavenly light of the Lord. Light here is an emblem of knowledge, of happiness, a life of joy, of true joy and understanding. We are able to judge things and discern things. There's a profound understanding of anthropology. We know that we fell in Adam and we need to be redeemed in Jesus. We know that God created us. We know how we got here. We know why we're here. And we know where we're going.
Amen.
Yeah. Paul said in Colossians 1 and 13 that saved people have been delivered from the power of darkness. He said this. He said, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. This revelation, this transformation from a state of darkness to a state of light. A darkness that was felt. An Egyptian darkness. A plague of darkness that is upon our souls where we're dead in trespasses and in sin. And as God in the very beginning in his first act of creation said, let there be light. And there was light. Paul would go along a little further and say in 2 Corinthians 4 and 6 that God who commanded the light to shine in the darkness, he has shined in our hearts. Amen.
Amen.
Through the gospel of Jesus Christ, there's light. Light in our souls. But if that light be acts and attitudes and personalities and ways of life that are darkness, how great is that darkness?
Amen.
Christians who say they walk in the light and yet live in darkness. What did John say? He said, if a man says he's in the light of the Lord and he hateth his brother, what did he say? He's a liar. He's a liar. You are not in the light of the Lord with that kind of attitude, mister.
Amen.
Amen. No. No, you're not. You're lying. You're just lying. You can't be in the light of the Lord. When you walk in the light of the Lord, you know that you're here for the glory of God and for the good of man.
Amen.
That you'll love God and you'll love your brother. Those two commandments that Jesus said all the law and the prophets are hung on, they become a part of your life because he has written his laws in your heart. You know them, you feel them, and you will express them.
Amen.
I fear that the greatest darkness. Remember what Jesus said in the 6th chapter of Matthew? If that light puts off darkness, how great of darkness that is. Christianity in darkness. People, that's an oxymoron. We're saved, amen? The light of the Lord has shined in our heart. We have the love of God that has been shown abroad in our heart. I mean, just scattered abroad in our souls. We ought to love God and we ought to love our fellow man. Amen?
Amen.
We ought to love one another. This is the new commandment that was given to us of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we love one another. And if you don't love one another, you have not fulfilled the law of Christ.
Amen.
And you're not walking in the light. The church should be put off and put out by people who say they're in the light and live in darkness. Well, I'll show you that. You look with me. I believe it's in the book of Ephesians. I wrote down a passage here. Yeah, Ephesians 5 and 11. He said, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. What are they? Do you know what the unfruitful works of darkness are? What are those things that we're not to be in fellowship with? Would you like to make a list? He goes a little further and says this. These acts of darkness, the fruitful works of darkness, what are they? I'll tell you what he does say here, though, in verse 12. He says, for it is a shame. A shame. A shame. It's a shame for anybody who has professed Christianity, and it's a greater shame if they profess Christianity and been a Christian for a long time, and suddenly, fruit of darkness comes from them. Oh, how great that darkness is. I want to say this to all of you elderly people. You should be good role models. Morally, ethically, and spiritually. These young people ought to look up at you and they should follow you like you're following Christ. But when you do not follow Christ and you follow the devil, you have set forth a path of darkness. And it's a shame. A shame that we should never have any kind of fellowship with. One of the greatest damaging, one of the things that's damaged the cause of Christ more than anything else has been fallen ministers and fallen deacons. I invite you to come here Wednesday night. I'm going to be teaching on the office of a pastor and the office of a deacon, the qualifications. There are qualifications that a deacon and a pastor must have when they're ordained, and they must maintain for the rest of their lives. The requirements are not only for the men when it comes to deacons, but also their spouses. And if a person does not meet those qualifications, in 1 Timothy chapter 3, the church should have no fellowship with any fruits of darkness. They're disqualified. Can you be disqualified? Sure you can. And I believe that we ought to do that. And that's been the problem. The church is afraid of the light. People, that's the light. The scriptures, they are the light. We must follow God's holy word. The church of Jesus Christ ought to do what God has said no matter what. Amen. We ought to hold up the truth. Amen. Let God be true and every man a lie. Preachers are afraid to preach messages for fear of men and women, and it's a shame. Amen. And thus we end up with fruits of darkness where there should be light. And when there's darkness where light is supposed to be, how great is that darkness? It's a shame. Every Sunday school teacher, I'm sorry, if you're visiting with us, I got to preach to church just a few minutes, okay? Every Sunday school teacher, every person that holds office, no, let me back up. Every member of this church has a responsibility and an obligation to keep this covenant hanging here on the wall. Amen. That means they should support this church with their presence, their prayers, and their means. I'll say this, that singing we had last Sunday afternoon, wasn't that wonderful? We had a good day in the Lord, didn't we? We had a special day for our building program, took over 20-something thousand dollars, you know, and a lot of people left. A few people stayed. Listen, we all need to be equally committed to the cause of Jesus Christ. That's what it's all about, being, you know, having a commitment to Christ. A commitment to following Christ. And man, if we would just get in there and all be equally committed to following the Lord, the light of the glorious gospel will shine all around us, and it will shine in the hearts of those that the God of this world has deceived. And that's what we need. People saved. Amen. I heard a story about a little boy in Brooklyn, New York, that was standing out on the street corner with a broken mirror. He was standing there and he had tattered clothes and he was going like this with this mirror. He was shining it down this alley. If you've ever been in New York, the tall buildings, that little small alleys where only maybe one car or one truck can get down. Policeman saw him. That patrol officer grabbed him and shook him real hard and said, "Boy, what are you doing? I'm sure you're up to no good. You're like all those other boys around here in some kind of mischief. What are you doing?" He said, "Officer, I'm trying. You see that little window down there? Down that alley? You see that window down there?" He said, "My little brother, who's been sick his whole life and crippled, he said, I shine this light in that window. That's the only light he ever gets to see." People, you're the only light that many people get to see. And we ought to shine for Jesus. Amen. We are a reflection of He who is the light of the world. And we ought to shine. Let your light so shine among men that they may see your good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. I want to speak to you in closing about the plague of darkness that Jesus was talking about, not only with respect to people who say they walk in the light yet sit in darkness, but those and them really know the light and have experienced the new birth, but those who have an artificial light. Is there an artificial light? People, there's a great darkness upon religious people who are religiously lost. Perhaps it's the profoundest plague of darkness that anyone could ever have upon their life. I mean, they dig a religious ditch. They dig their heels into doctrines or precepts or ideas or preconceived notions that are not true, that provide them no light. They're still feeling the darkness. They've never felt the glorious light, and yet they say they're Christians. People anchor themselves in a false hope. Is that possible? Listen, Jesus taught us clearly, and the Scriptures teach clearly, that your anchor needs to be beyond the veil. Amen. You must be hooked up with Christ. There must be a genuine, real fellowship. There must be a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ through His sacrifice at Calvary. You must repent of your sins and be born again of the Spirit of God through a believing application of the blood of Jesus Christ, or you are not saved. Amen. You're just not saved. This plague, where there's a claim of cleansing, but not a real cleansing of the soul. There's a claim of spiritual understanding, but yet there's never a revelation that comes from God that your sins are forgiven. It's not a true light. It's an artificial light. Artificial, not real. Not real. And they're in a plague of darkness. They don't really know the Lord. They're about 18 inches from really knowing the Lord. They know about Him in their head, but they've never come to know Him in their heart. Huh? You know what I'm talking about? We've had many among us. Many among us who have had that kind of Christianity that is all head knowledge, never really had the heart knowledge. We've seen a lot of people deceived by the darkness. Can a person be deceived in darkness? Amen. They're told that things are there that aren't really there. They've never seen it for themselves. They're trusting in somebody else's perception or understanding of it rather than having a genuine understanding of it for themselves. It's a plague of darkness. Amen. And a darkness of all darknesses. Paul was recovered from such darkness. He once was dead, but he was made alive. This light that gives life, it gives life in the soul. Amen. It's like what Paul said when he wrote to the people in Ephesians chapter 2, where they were dead in trespasses and in sin, but they were quickened. They were made alive. Made alive, born again. If you've never had a time and a place in your life where you were convicted of your sin, where the light revealed to you and exposed to you, you're lost and unconditioned. You're being separated from God. Your need of a Savior. If that's never happened to you, I pray this morning the Holy Spirit would shine the light of the gospel around you, and that you would realize that Jesus went to the cross and He died there and He hung there as a sacrificial atonement for your sins. Upon that convicting revelation and understanding of where you are lost. I tell kids here all the time, the Lord will let you know when you're lost, the Lord will let you know when you're saved. Amen. If anybody says that we're deceiving people here, they're lying. Because see, that ensures against any kind of deception.
Amen.
The Lord will show you you're lost. The Lord will show you you're saved. And if they get deceived in all this process, they deceive themselves.
Amen.
We didn't deceive them. Why do we say that? Because we know there's the light of Jesus that can shine in their heart. There's the light of Jesus that illuminates their path, that can show them the way. And that understanding, it's more than just a moral understanding of things. It's more than an ethical understanding. It's more than a theological understanding. It's a spiritual understanding.
Amen.
That I once was lost, and now I'm found. Get a song, Aaron. I once was blind, but now I see. That you're no longer part of, involved in. The children of darkness, but you are a child in the light. Aren't we the children of light? He told us to put off those things of the darkness, that we are to be the children of light. And we're trying to show you and tell you and want you a part of this light that we enjoy.
Amen.
You've not known happiness. You've not known joy. You've not known the gifts of goodness until you've tried to follow the Lord.
Amen.
We need to follow Him to the cross, into the tomb. Amen. Come out with new life. Amen. Die to sin. Be made alive with God. You need to follow Him in baptism. Amen. You need to follow His teachings. What He has said, we need to do.
Amen.
Follow Him. Follow the Lord. If you'll stand to your feet, maybe somebody here, you've never been saved by the grace of God. If you'll come, pray, seek the Lord, you can receive the light that is the life of men. Jesus is the light of the world. I pray this morning He will shine in your darkened heart as we sing.